time in the world. But what happens in the book of Mark, the very first thing, the very next thing after the baptism, is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, leads Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. One little temptation? No. 10? No. 100? 1,000? We don't really know how many temptations Jesus faced, but we do know this. He faced temptation over a period of 40 days and 40 nights. And it was no little cartoon character whispering in his ear. It was Satan himself. It was Lucifer. It was the devil in person tempting him continuously in that wilderness setting. As we look at the book of Mark, it gives us virtually no detail of what happened. In fact, we're going to get to that at Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 are our next verses to read. It says this, "The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the animals, the wild animals, and then the angels took care of him." And that's all Mark tells us. You'd actually have to go to other places in the Bible, other gospel writers, to find out more detail. In fact, if you want a little homework assignment for this week, read in Luke chapter 4, and Luke will describe all the things that happened, or at least some of the things that happened over those 40 days of temptation. But just know this, Jesus was tempted for about a month and a half. And the Bible tells us he did not have any food. He went without eating for 40 days. I mean, I can't imagine the hunger he must have had. He didn't have anyone with him, no other people. And I can't imagine the loneliness he must have felt. And likely he didn't get much sleep, because I don't think Satan just works 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. So it was a 24/7 deal of temptation. He must have been really tired all that time. Hungry, lonely, tired. And the thing we need to remember about Jesus and this going through the temptation is, because sometimes we can read it, especially in Mark. He went to the wilderness, tempted, animals that were there, angels took care of him. What's next? We can almost just go right over it. And not even begin to realize what he went through for that period of time. Jesus was not wearing a Superman cape when he was being tempted. He didn't wear a Superman cape while he was here on this earth. Well, I say that to mean this. Jesus was fully God, we know that. He was 100% God. But also, we know that he was 100% human. And so the hunger, the loneliness, the tired, all the other feelings he could have had, all the experiences of temptation, they were just like what we would have. He didn't pull out his Superman abilities and just overcome it that way. He really lived through that. What I'm going to do today is, again, we just have those two verses that's next in Mark, but it's about temptation, about Jesus going through it. So I thought, well, what I'm going to do today is that's our topic, temptation. And I searched in the Bible of 10 lessons for us to learn about temptation. And maybe all 10 apply to you and me today, or maybe there's one that's like, oh boy, that's the one, I did not know that, or I need that. For me, for today, or for the rest of my life. So here's just my pulling out 10 lessons, the top 10 lessons the Bible teaches us about temptation. And the first one is real obvious. Everyone faces temptation. Everyone faces temptation. It all started with Adam and Eve in the garden, in the perfect place that God had created. And yet, you think about how perfect it was. There was no temptation for alcohol. There was no temptation for drugs. There was no temptation for pornography. There was no temptation for stealing anything. I mean, gambling. We could go on with whatever we think are things that could cause us temptation. In the Garden of Eden, there was no temptation of having the all-you-can-eat taco bar that might have weighed heavily on me. It was a perfect place, except for the fact that Satan, in the form of a serpent, was there, and he found a way to tempt Adam and Eve. We know that story very well. So everyone faces temptation. We just read in the book of Mark, Jesus himself was tempted for 40 days. Jesus faced temptation. And then I think what we know better than anyone else is that you and I face temptation. Maybe we faced it already today. Or maybe it's going to come later today, or it's going to happen this week. Everyone faces temptation is the first lesson that the Bible teaches us. Another lesson that we're taught is that Satan is the tempter. Let's get straight as to who's doing the temptation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 tell us about this. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did, as you well know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid, this is Paul writing this to the Thessalonians, I was afraid, he says, that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Satan is the tempter. And the one that's trying to get you off track is the devil himself. You might remember, if you're my age or so, of a comedian that was on TV back then. His name was Flip Wilson, one of the funniest comedians I can ever remember in my whole life. And I used to actually imitate one of the characters that he played, the lady Geraldine, or Geraldine, however you pronounce it. And of course, remember Geraldine's boyfriend was Killer, and they were all time getting in trouble with each other. But she would say something whenever she did something wrong. What did she say? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Absolutely. So Geraldine's theology was correct. And that's what the Bible tells us. Satan is the tempter. And the devil's out there trying to make us do it. Now, what I'm going to tell by the end of this message today is the devil's trying to get us to do it, but we don't have to give in to the devil. So everyone faces temptation. Satan is the tempter. Here's a third point. Satan tempts, God tests. Satan tempts and God tests. Now, those might seem like the same thing, but I'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. I will at least read you this from James chapter 1, verse 13. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. So let's get that point across right away. Because it says, God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. If something feels like God is involved in something we're going through, it's a test, not a temptation. And I'm going to explain that difference in just a bit. But Satan tempts is the key. God tests. Another point to make that the Bible says about temptation is that it comes from our own desires. Temptation comes from our own desires. My temptations are not the same as your temptations. In James, still in chapter 1, we left off, we just read verse 13. Well, here's what 14 and 15 say. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires, catch this, they give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. that almost sounds like an oxymoron, that birth can give to death. It says desires. The desires give birth to sinful actions. The desires I have that are temptations to me are not the desires that you have. And one of the things I wanted to bring out about that is we can look at other people who are being tempted or maybe even giving into the temptations of something. And we say to them kind of in our own self-righteous self attitude is like, why can't you stop doing that? Well, that's easy for us to say because that's not our desire. So let's be very careful because, again, somebody could look at us and say, why do you keep doing that? Or why haven't you stopped that? Oh, yeah, you're right. That is the thing I deal with. That verse says basically desire leads to sinful actions, which then grows, which then leads to death. Right now we're afraid of COVID, and rightly so, because, I mean, we're wearing the mask, we're distancing, we're not coming, we're not going anywhere. Boy, if folks only had an inkling of what temptation ultimately leads to, which is death, it's far worse than COVID-19. So everyone faces temptation. Satan is the tempter. Satan tempts, God tests. Temptation comes from our own desires. Those are the things the Bible's taught us so far. Here's another one. Temptation is the bait for the trap. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. It's going to be a very familiar verse. At least a part of it will be very familiar. Temptation is the bait for trap. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires, there's that word again, that plunge them into ruin and destruction. And then it goes on to say, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, not all, some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Greed is a temptation that Satan uses to get to us. And while I can joke about eating tacos or eating too many tacos or things like that, and that temptation of overeating, I can be very vulnerable with you about something else. And that is the temptation of greed has been something it seems like I've dealt with almost all my life. Now, God has helped me tremendously to overcome that, but there's still, sometimes there's that little whisper in my ear to not give something to someone or to God because I think it's going to cost me something. Something's going to be taken away from me as opposed to the blessing of giving. I've mentioned this before. Jan and I had been married for years. I'd come to Christ at age 19. Jan had been in church all of her life. Whenever the offering plate would be passed by, I would reach in and hopefully my money clip would have one of the smallest bills that the United States government would issue, because I wanted to be careful to not give too much. I'll give someday. I'll give more someday. But there was a spirit of greed. And God knew, Satan knew an area that he could tempt me with, and that was with giving. And it was because of a spirit of greed. And that was the trap. And there must have been. I hope and I pray to God that all, if not most of that, is gone. But the love of money is not there anymore. And I think it was. And it wasn't because I was raised rich. We didn't have that much at all. Yeah, we had enough food and we had enough clothing. It wasn't the clothing that all the other kids in school were wearing. It was a different brand and not all that fashionable. But somehow or other, Satan tried to use, and successfully at times, greed as a way to trap me. Is greed a temptation for you? Here's another lesson we can learn from the Bible about temptation, is that we should never be the one to tempt someone else. That's bad. We should never be the one tempting someone else. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 and 7 actually says this. This is Jesus, and he was surrounded by kids, but this applies no matter what age. He says, if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in me, these little kids just trusted in Jesus, didn't understand him, didn't know all about things, to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. What sorrow awaits the world because it tempts people to sin. Here's a lesson. Temptations are inevitable. That's the thing we just talked about earlier. Everyone faces temptation. Temptations are inevitable, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting. I mean, that's quite a picture to have a rope tied around your neck, and on the other side of the rope is a millstone, a large cement block of some type, and then the depths of the sea, you're not going to be found. You're not going to be on an episode of Law and Order where the body washes up. You're going to decay in the depths of the sea. That's how Jesus was painting this idea of being the one who tempts someone else. Particularly those who put their trust in me, he says. Here's another lesson we can learn from the Bible. And this one won't be fun to hear, but we need to hear it. Again, because the Bible says it. And it's from, we'll be reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And here's the lesson. Temptations last a lifetime. Boy, I wish I didn't have to. Let me just cross that one out. We'll just skip right over that. Well, it would be nice if we could. It would be nice if the Bible didn't say what it says here. It says, Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him. Now, you guys are still reading, and I stopped. You would think that Jesus, after 40 days and 40 nights of being tempted by Satan himself, that would be it. He passed the test. He's overcome all these temptations. Surely it's over. And yet, what does the verse go on to say? It says that he left him, Satan left him after finishing tempting Jesus. But he said, until the next opportunity came. Jesus wasn't done tempting Jesus. And he would tempt him at every opportunity. Jesus is going to help us, but Satan is going to be tempting us for our whole lifetime until we take the last breath. I have a pastor friend of mine. He's in his middle 80s. And one of the things that he's told me, I don't know how many times, is about the temptations that he still faces that he has to work on not falling into. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You've been a pastor for 20 or 30 years. You're in your mid-80s. You've been a Christian all these decades. You're still tempted? And he said, yeah. It lasts a lifetime. Satan wasn't done with Jesus. Satan isn't done with us. But I've got some good news as we keep going on these lessons. Here's the lesson I want to expound on from earlier when I said Satan tempts and God tests. The lesson is temptation is meant to tear down. Testing is meant to build up. So if we're ever going through something, is it destroying us or encouraging us? If it's something that's destroying us, that's just out for our harm, then it's likely a temptation from Satan. If it's something that we're going through that ultimately there's good that's going to come out of it for us, for others around us, then it's likely a test. Let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Sometimes you've heard the phrase, pride cometh before the fall. Well, that's kind of what this is saying. If you think you're standing strong, hey, I got this. All this pride, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different than what others experience. And God is faithful. Listen to this. Here's the key. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. There's a limit to even what God will allow Satan to do in terms of temptation. He will not allow it more than you can stand. Boy, it sure doesn't feel that way sometimes, though, does it? I think maybe sometimes we'll even say, I don't think I can take one more thing. I can't take one more loss. I can't take one more doctor's appointment. I can't take one more problem with the finances, with this relationship, whatever it might be. And yet God says he will not allow the temptation to be more than we can stand. Well, I'm going to continue on with this verse with the next lesson is that, and here's good news, we can overcome temptation. Because if we continue in that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we read 12 and 13, I'll read it again, but listen to the end of the sentence, the end of the verse. Again, it says, if you're standing strong, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And then listen to this. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So when we find ourselves in the midst of a temptation and it feels like it's more than we can handle, first of all, no, God's not going to put more than we can handle. He's not going to allow more than we can handle with that temptation. Watch for a door. I mean, it might be as dark as could be, but feel around, see if there's a door handle somewhere. See if there's a window that's left just barely cracked that you can get out of. Because that's what the Bible's telling us, is that when we are tempted, God himself will show a way out so that we can endure. Here's the last lesson. We should pray not to be tempted. The Bible tells us to do this. But we should pray not to be tempted. So it's all this overcoming and everything like that. That's great. But we ought to just start with praying not to be tempted. We're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer. Remember the disciples asked Jesus, hey, would you teach us how to pray? We keep overhearing you, and you do a pretty good job. But we're not so familiar with exactly how to do this. Would you teach us? And that's when Jesus actually said, well, you ought to pray something like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he went through a process of teaching his disciples how to pray. Do you remember one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer? In Matthew chapter 6, let me go ahead and start with verse 12, but it's going to be 12 and 13. Remember, it says, and forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us. And then it says in the next line, and in the New Living Translation, it says, and do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. But we've all memorized the Lord's Prayer in the King James, and that last line says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's a good thing to pray, and when? Not on Sundays, not once in a while. It'd be a good idea to pray on a regular basis, not to be tempted. Lord, would you not lead me into temptation to start with? Would you just deliver me from evil? It would be a good thing. If you want to go ahead and we'll finish with a closing song, here's just my last few remarks. Number one, temptation is not a sin. So don't think that, oh, wait, I've been tempted so much and I've been tempted for so long, I must not be living for Christ. I must not be a Christian. I must not be saved. Well, it's not true. Temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted. Everyone is tempted. Jesus resisted temptation. We can resist temptation too. Do what the Lord's Prayer said. Ask God to help you right now, even as we pray. Do this as we finish up today. Tell God what your number one temptation is. He already knows, but go ahead and tell him what it is. And even as we end today, ask him to help you with that. Ask him to help you walk around it. Ask him to help you to walk over it or under it. Ask him to help you walk around it, or even ask him to help you walk through it. And it may take a while to get all the way through it, but God can do that. So what's our closing song? Okay. Jesus, name above all names. Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer.